a trio of demented senior executive twerps. From the National Monument to the Death of Integrity in Public Life, has just done an impossibly excellent job increasing the chances of P-Dut. Good old Starchy Voldemort. I think that was his maiden name, at least. They've just done a great job increasing his chances of getting elected next year. These are the Ute Tax Musketeers, and it's fair to say that almost everyone in the land detests them by now. I'm John Logan from AutoExpert.com.au, Newcastle cheap, Australia only website. Card. Okay, so the demented Ute Tax Musketeers, they've achieved a few more things, I suppose, than just cementing the upcoming election victory of the Starch and the public release of his most distinctive cologne, Chanel Embrace of Death. As the Juice Media would say, I suppose, welcome to cuntery. Labour's Utaxians have pissed off the Green Utopians because they've watered down the average fleet fuel efficiency reductions proposed for light commercials from 60% down to 50%, and they've also recategorised some heavyweight vehicles like the Land Cruiser 300, the Everest, Pajero Sport and MUX, etc., from passenger vehicles to light commercials. So they get something of a freer kick than they would otherwise have been in line for. Passenger vehicles, of course, still have to cut emissions 60% by 2029. But the whole thing is a dog's breakfast, and it emphatically sucks. You can buy an EV if you want, that's allowed, free country, blah, 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 but it's going to depreciate to nearly nothing in 10 to 12 years, if it lasts that long. And it's not actually that effective against climate change. But for less than 20 grand, you can get a quality rooftop solar system with a battery backup. If you've already got solar, you can just add a battery. That's dead easy too. Solar's going to slash your electricity bill, add value to your house, protect you from power failures, and the battery can store the electricity that you generate during the day and divorce you from the grid overnight for a fraction of the cost of an EV. Visit autoexpert.com.au/solar now. I've just partnered with a leading Australian solar specialist. I've known the owners for years. They do hundreds of installations every month. They handle the whole thing, the rebate, the approvals, the bureaucracy, and they use only quality components from suppliers with good local support. In other words, the roof's not going to be leaking afterwards, and you won't be emailing the help desk in China if there's some problem. They'll just sort it for you. In most cases, you're going to be up and running in a day. If you don't know a kilowatt hour from an inverter, no problem. You'll get a reliable system that'll slash your power bill at least and might even be cash flow positive. It can even make your house apocalypse proof. Not only can you get seamless blackout protection, the solar array can continue to charge the battery when the power is out. That'll keep you going for days. Extreme weather events and grid instability, that's just how the future's gonna be. This is protection against that, and it's easy to do at a fraction of the cost of an EV. Nobody likes paying for electricity, I get that, and it's never gonna get cheaper. This is how you divorce yourself from that upward spiral, as well as burning the coal that goes with it. Coal is, of course, the biggest source of CO2 emission in Australia. Home solar is how you take effective climate action today. And unlike an EV, a good solar system with a backup battery will typically add many times its cost in value to your house. Visit autoexpert.com.au/solar today. Just fill in the contact form and find out how simple and cost-effective the right solar and battery system for your home can be. There is a ginormous conga line of pissed-off entities over the Ute Tax. Australia's most misleading or deceptive car maker, Toyota, is disingenuously publicly supportive of the Ute Taxians, but paradoxically, Toyota has, for the sake of ceremony, inserted its snout deep into the anus of the Federal Chamber. That's not funny. Of automotive industry. It's way up there too. They can see tomorrow's breakfast from their current vantage point. And vice versa, right back at you, said the chamber. The chamber's snout remains deeply embedded in the Big T's crack also. A bilaterally most contorted arrangement. You'd agree. And we've all seen those movies too. Very Cirque du Soleil, isn't it? Still, I suppose that's the way, they like it, No reference to individuals is made, generally. The Federal Chamber, of course, was banned from the Softcock Musketeers Please Hate Us announcement because T-Dub's crew called bullshit on the Ute tax so publicly, so early on. Well done, T-Dub. Are words I never thought I would ever utter, and yet here we are. Automotive industry two-year-old temper tantrum champions Polestar and Tesla probably don't know whether to be extremely cranky or properly overjoyed. They both stand to make millions selling bullshit offset credits to the likes of Ford and Toyota, perhaps Isuzu, thanks to the new Ute tax, albeit fewer millions now thanks to the recent watering down ceremony that T-Dub was barred from attending. Middle Australians, people like you and me, should be properly pissed at all of this, I'd suggest. Despite claims to the contrary from cutting-edge ministerial bullshit crafters, the Ute tax will not save Middle Australians any money unless they buy a brand new car that was not previously available here. To be clear on this, individual cars are not gonna be made more fuel efficient. That is not what this is about. This is about car makers increasing the average fuel efficiency of the total pool of vehicles which they sell here. They can only do this by selling more nasty little combustion shitboxes plus a few more EVs and hybrids to offset the thirst of their popular Utes and SUVs. It's the only way that this can work. If you're a new car buyer, the cost of cars is going to increase because the fines for breaching the average consumption cap and or the cost of credits to offset those breaches, they're going to be passed on to you, those costs, right? The cost of new cars will certainly rise as a result, and that rise will be substantial. This means people will hold on to their older, filthier cars for longer. That's a given. Claims that you will save money are ministerial misdirection dressed up as sound bites for the nightly fucking news and nothing more. A common claim is that Australia has become a, quote, dumping ground for old polluting cars. This is hyper bullshit green mythery at its best. The heaviest, thirstiest vehicles, such as Utes and SUVs, well, in Australia, they already comply. They comply with strict emissions standards in every market in which they are sold. We, proud sons and daughters of Anzacs, just like buying large-ish SUVs and Utes, we happen just to like that. It's just that the demented Ute tax musketeers have an issue with you liking the kinds of cars that you like, basically. It's social fucking engineering. People fail to appreciate, I suppose, the difference between CO2 and pollution when it comes to the tailpipe of your conventional car. Pollution is caused by inefficient combustion. It leads to things like oxides of nitrogen, unburned hydrocarbons, microscopic soot, and carbon monoxide, things of that nature. All of them can be mitigated by emissions regulations and technology like DPFs and catalytic converters and microprocessor control of the combustion process, etc. Okay? carbon monoxide, a deadly poison, has been reduced by 90-something percent in tailpipes since the frickin' 1970s, for example. And I would argue that pollution from modern cars is almost negligible. CO2 is kind of different to that, right? It can be mitigated only by reducing the consumption of fuel. And emission standards do not address CO2 at all. This is because CO2 is a fundamental byproduct of combustion. And there are really only two of those. The other one is, of course, water. Fuel consumption and CO2 emission are directly proportional. One is therefore a proxy for the other. We're talking about the same thing, right? The more fuel you burn, the more CO2 you emit, and technology will never be able to change that. 1 litre of petrol yields about 2.3 kilos of CO2. It depends on the exact formula of the petrol, but it's roughly 2.3. That's just how combustion works. It can't be changed. You just have to burn less fuel if you want less CO2. For diesel, it's about 2.7 kilos, I think. But you have to remember that diesel is about 20% more efficient, like more thermally efficient in the engine than petrol. It's also slightly more dense. So per kilometre, diesel is actually a little bit greener. And that swims against the tide of rhetoric too, but hey, here we are out here in reality. Labor's senior environment chumps are basically therefore instigating a user ultimately pays tax on CO2, but the government doesn't want to call it that, right? Because previous carbon tax attempts have crashed and burned disastrously and spectacularly. In the absence of an efficiency standard, Australia is not a dumping ground for anything. In practice, it's just harder for the car importers here to demand more, for example, EVs from the factory. Global car makers have been prioritising those allocations of those quote-unquote zero emissions vehicles to markets like the US and Europe, where caps on average consumption exist and have existed for some time. And they do this just to avoid the fines. Up until now, Australia hasn't been on that list, but I guess this new ute tax will increase the number of smaller conventional shitboxes and EVs and plug-in hybrids and regular hybrids which are available here. And perhaps that's a good thing. So rather than dump polluting cars here, car makers just don't allocate the same number of micro cars or EVs or hybrids to Australia. But that's going to change. In other news, Chanel says it has no plans whatsoever for a public release of the Starch's signature cologne, Embrace of Death, which is thought to be mainly embalming fluid with overtones of weak old lilies plus hints of sour cherry and green apple. You can tell it when he's coming towards you, if he's upwind, I suppose. At least they have no plans until after the election. And then I'm pretty sure it's gonna sell its tits off.